Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International, Stockbridge, Georgia, Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you have tuned in today. Thank you for being in the building with us and sharing with us on this great day. What a good day, great day to be alive. We thank God for His mercy, His grace, and His peace that surpasses all understanding. We give Him praise, we give Him honor, we give Him glory. We bless Him, we honor Him, we worship and adore Him, we magnify Him. Pray. Hallelujah. In the name of our God, the mountain of His holiness, we give Him praise. Oh, God, there's no God like our God, and we give Him all the praise, all the honor, and good glory. Hallelujah. We thank God for honoring our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones, and our co-founder, Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. We thank God for all of you, you, and especially you. Amen. For being here today to take an impart on this word today. Now, those of you who are online, we're so glad that you have tuned in. We pray that this word will bless you where you are. You can press one on your phone so we can bring you live. I already have Ella Ford live, and I want to know if the Binions want to be live. Just press one so I can bring you live. We want to be able to hear from everybody, amen, so we can really hear, amen, get some insight, foresight, and oversight on the Word of God today. We are located at 583 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia, and we are the light of the world. Hallelujah. So today we're going to open up in prayer by Elder Davis in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus, Father, we thank you once again for showing us this day, for giving us your new mercy and your tender mercy. We thank you for this gathering. We ask now that you to send your Holy Spirit to teach us your word, to anoint your word, Father, that we may live the world, that we may show the world that we are your representatives. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God who has died and paid for our sin. So, Father, we ask you to be with us this day. Watch over and protect us from all wrong, hurt, harm, evil, and danger. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. We thank God today for another hour where we can study the Word of God, and we are still in the book of Acts. Amen. The Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. Amen. We thank God for where we are, Acts 27, and today we're up to verse 13. But let me just give us a little background. Now, we know Paul is on his way to Rome. And, you know, back in those days, they didn't have airplanes. So the mode of transportation had to be ship or horse or camel or whatever. But if you were going to another island or another a country, it had to be by ship. And so we see where Paul and a lot of other prisoners are on this ship going towards Rome, amen, where his destination is. And we see now where in this 27th chapter where Paul and all his people on the boat are confronted with a condition. And during this time that they were sailing, it was bad weather. Just like right now, hurricane season in the Atlantic Ocean is from June to November. And we already see where tropical storms already happening, and we had a whole bunch of rain last weekend and up till Monday and Tuesday. And so we know that the weather plays an impact on shipping and sailing during those times. And so Paul began to warn the centurion about the time of weather and how difficult it was going to be to sail. Now, he wasn't speaking anything prophetically. He was just talking about it being the stormy season. And so just like now, you got to be careful when you get into Atlantic Ocean during the time of June and November, because there's storms going to be coming up. And I think they're talking something about El Nino would really cause a lot of storms really to start coming up and all that kind of stuff. And so they had to stop to this place called Fair Haven. Now, on a regular, Fair Haven was a good place to stop. But during the winter time, during this time when Paulin was there, it became a bad place because it was not fit or conducive to winter. It's just like the islands, the Bahamas and Jamaica or whatever. They're not equipped for winter-type weather. And so they began to sail, and we see that they come to this place called Fair Haven, which should be sound like be a safe place, but at that time it wasn't. And so there was a risk in staying in Fair Haven. There was a risk in looking for a safer port for winter, which was the best way. Many problems that we face in life, we don't know which one to choose from. That's why we got to depend on what the Holy Ghost says, because some safe place might look good, some might seem good. It may not be the safe place for you. And so Paul advised them that not to sail because of the weather condition. And so we see what the centurion did not pay Paul any mind. He went in heed to the other people on the ship who was supposedly more knowledgeable in sailing rather than Paul. So he began to take their advice and say, we're going to sail on. Because like we said last week, when you are in a military mindset and you have been given an assignment, you don't let condition deter you from doing your assignment. And we were saying how that as children of God, when God has given us an assignment, we should not let conditions, circumstances, and our feelings deter us from doing our assignment. And we know that many times we are tested in when we need to do for God based on how we feel. And I'm telling you, feelings is something you really can't trust because it changes moment by moment by moment. I mean, you can be feeling good 1 minute and somebody cross your path the next minute, you can be like in a funk. But you have to know that you have to depend on the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you. And that's why Isaiah says, Proverbs, Solomon says that trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. But he's saying all your ways acknowledge God. Put God in it, and he will direct your path. So we see where now when you get in a place like this, where Paul them stuck where my mama said between a rock and a hard place. You know, what do you do? Do you stay here or do you try to travel while the storm is going on? And you know, a lot of times when I'm traveling, I used to work in sometimes Savannah, Jackson, Mississippi, South Georgia, and sometimes there's a big rainstorm that comes by, and a lot of times people would pull off on the side of the road waiting for that storm to stop. But then I realized sometimes that the storm is only at one particular area. And if you keep driving, you'll drive out of it. I was like, wow. So those people who stayed there waiting for the storm to stop, it didn't stop. But as I drove through, I realized that I drove out of the storm. And so even in life, sometimes we're in a storm, and sometimes we let the storm paralyze us, and we don't do nothing. But I declare, if you keep moving, the storm got a time of elapse. It got an expiration date. Whatever storm you go through, it got an expiration date, but you got to keep moving. When we say God take us through, in order to go through, you got to keep moving. You can't stand still and expect to go through something. And so Paul was at a place and on this ship now where something had to be done. But these soldiers were so engaged on their assignment, they were not concerned about the weather. They say, let's go and do what we got to do. And that's how we as children of God need to say, hey, I'm going to do what God say do. In spite of how my bank account looks, in spite of how my feelings are, in spite of how I feel, I'm going to do what God say. And so we see where now we're at verse 13. We're going to start where Paul is now on their way from Crete to from Fair Haven to Malta. So they're still traveling. They stop in different ports, but now they are still traveling. So we go on to verse 13 and 14. Elder Davis, you can read that for us. 13 and 14.
And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing them, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there arose against a temperate wind called Euroclydon. Well, now the wind has slowed down, so now they feel like they're ready to move on. But shortly after that, another storm came up, and they were still in the same predicament.
Amen. So anybody else? Anybody else?
I don't know if it was any significance, but maybe somebody could help me on that, because most of the storm and the weather was coming from the sea. But when they got close to that, they said the wind arose from the land and came up against them. So I don't know what that means.
So when you on assignment, stuff can come from anywhere. And the land represents humanity, the earth. That's why he called us earth, right? And so it can come from spirits, mm-hmm. or it can come from man. So when you on your assignment go to do what God says, it can turbulent storms can come from anywhere. So we got to be aware that, hey, no matter where the storm comes from, we're still on assignment.
Okay,
because a lot of times storms will come up, and it'll come from the least expected place. You know, who would think wind would be coming from the land? You know, it would come from the clouds, or come from the sea. You can kind of understand that, but now it's coming from the land. So the significance of that is that when you on assignment to do what God say do, it can come from anywhere, and it will come from anywhere. I'm sure those of you who are out there and who here can testify that a lot of times you're on assignment to do God's will, you're going to get distracted. And that's all it is to get your mind distracted from what God say. Because when you start looking at your situation, you're like, this ain't the picture what God showed me. Two things look different.
That kind of stirred something else in my mind, that because he said they're trying to get to where they're supposed to get, it might not have been for them to anchor there, because it said here they started to set their anchor away, their anchor. And God can raise up storms, too, to keep you moving along in your journey. If you're not supposed to pass there because he knows something about it, that you may not know.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Every storm is not from your enemy. Every storm is not from your enemy.
Sometimes the Lord will allow storms to happen to keep us where we need to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because if not, we're going to move anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he may want us to stand still. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Absolutely. Ella Ford?
Hi, Pastor. I would just like to echo what you just said. All storms are not from the enemy. And we could learn mm-hmm. a lot from that. And that's what makes the Bible so interesting. It just draws you in, and we will see how this newly created storm from the land influences everybody on the boat, and we just need to see in which way they will be influenced, towards God or away from God.
Amen. 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 And every storm that comes into our lives, we got to know it don't matter who it comes from. It's allowed. It's permitted. It has permission from God. No. Even if it's the devil himself, it's still permitted by God, because he wouldn't allow nothing to come on you that he didn't allow. Remember Job? Satan said himself, I wouldn't mess with him, but you got him covered. Allow me to do thus and so. You remember the swine, the spirits that was in the swine? They begged Jesus, well, you came to mess us before time. Send us into to the swine. Remember? They had to get permission on where he's going to send them. And so no matter what comes in our lives, we have to know. And it'll make it so easy for us if we know that God allowing this to happen only for your good, not to make you bitter, but to make you better. But we sometimes get in self and we start getting bitter. Why is it happening to me? Why is this happening? You know, just like a little kid, right? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Like Charlie Brown. Why everybody always picking on? Right? But the reason why God puts stuff in our lives is to move us to where we need. Because if we get so comfortable, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't doing nothing. But so this storm is pushing them to the next port. Even though they felt like they got into a place called Fair Haven, which they can just chill for a minute, the storm rose again to say, hey, you got to keep moving. All got to get to Rome. It wasn't even about anybody else on the ship but Paul. Whew, that's a favor now. Out of everybody else on the ship, it's all about Paul, getting him to Rome.
So that he will receive the glory.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They didn't understand the point. See, Paul was connected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Paul can later write that his grace is sufficient. Because even sometimes you pray for something to leave you, and he said, no, it ain't going nowhere. It's going to keep you. My goodness, a thorn. I mean, you got a man who has spoken, and demons has moved, and a lot of things have happened. This man spoke with authority, and he's praying for his own self. And God said, I ain't moving it. Oh, no, that's why we're here.
It's all emphasis. Sometimes we go through storms, but we go to Brighton, complaining.
Mm-hmm.
We turn our back on God because it's not working the way we think it should work. Paul was that perfect example. He kept it real. He stayed before God, continued to pray. He did not stop praying, even though when he tried to tell them what was right and they did not listen, he said, well, I'm getting ahead. We'll leave them alone.
So we just got to make sure that as we go through these lessons, that we see our lives parallel to what Paul is doing. Because other than that, we don't just want to read a story by Paul. We want to be able to glean from it, and so our lives can be better because of it. Because that's what I study for. I don't study just to know something. You got to study to live something. Because studying it don't help you. It's just a letter, but you got to get the spirit of it. So we see now they this storm is called Euro. You wrote Lee Dan. Iraqi. Yeah, it is a Yeah. Now, when I was growing up in the Bahamas, anytime there's a bad wind, my grandfather always said, "What a northeaster coming." All I knew, that was a bad wind. And so we see it's parallel now that it's the same. There's this bad wind coming. It came from the land, right? And so, that's the name of that. It's a tempest, high wind, dangerous. And so when Paul said there's danger coming, there's proof that danger was coming. And this Euro Platon, okay, whatever he said. They said that this wind was feared among the ancient sailors for its destructive power. The sailors on board knew that they were clearly in a bad time. They know as soon as that wind came up, they know trouble was at hand. And so there's things that happen in our lives where we know, oh, my God, it is really serious right now. It ain't like yesterday. This thing is serious. You know, when stuff starts coming at you from everywhere, okay, Lord, what you trying to do? This done got serious now. And so we got to brace ourselves when this, and then depend on the Holy Ghost leading. Because that's how we're going to get out of it. So it's saying that we secure the skiff with difficulty. The skiff is normally lowered, towed behind the boat. But was taken aboard in bad weather. So the lifeboat, that you call it, or the boat, you know, because of the shoreline, the ship couldn't get close to the shoreline, so they always had a little boat. But the weather was so bad that they normally tow it behind them, but because the weather's so bad and they don't want to lose that, because that's like your life raft, they put that in the ship. Hey. So you know how bad the weather is. Okay, so let's go to verse 15 and 16. LG?
The New American Standard. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along, running under the shelter of a small island called Florida. We were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control.
And like that's experience sailors. This is so powerful that, and they knew what was up. They probably had done this route before several times, so they knew probably the stop of what was up ahead and what the be down to the different word, like a safe haven. But they got there, you know, thought they would shelter there.
At Florida, they were scared and able to keep the boat under control. So that's, you know, the safe source. And they had to pull up that lifeline, that boat that would have let them down so they could get on the shore. Have you ever been in a situation where you done did all you know how to do? You tried to borrow all the money, you tried to do all this, you tried to do everything you can do, and nothing happened. You just got to what? Just rest in it. You just got to give it up and say, hey, I know how to do. I didn't do the natural, now I need the supernatural.
I know, and I know this saying, and you might know it, but my father-in-law used to quote this thing about at man's extremity, is God's opportunity. Yeah, so, you know, it was years ago when I first heard that, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And then I said, oh, you know, that's a whole lot in there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. When my mama said, when we had that, which thing?
Which man?
I said, God has come in. He's come in. And so we can see that when we done all we know how to do by our natural, carnal knowledge and experience, but the Holy Ghost always got something that would trump whatever you think you know. whatever you think you done figured out and done worked last time, there come a time when God said, no, you're going to have to depend on me. It ain't what you done learned in school. It ain't what you done learned by experience, but it's what I want to do. And so the sailors, they done did all they know how to do. They said, we just got to go with it. We just got to go with the flow. And they're saying, we just got to go with the flow. And the most powerful thing we can do as a believer, through Jesus, is just surrender. Surrender. Whatever he want to do, just say, no, your will be done, Lord. If we ever surrender, you know, surrender is so powerful that you could lay on water for hours if you just surrender. I mean, if you just empty your mind, you can lay and float on the water for hours. A place where you can't even stand on. You can't stand on water. But if you ever empty your mind and relax and surrender, you can lay there. So we have the power if we surrender. Think about the power. Absolutely.
Just see, you can't compare. Well, it's spiritual. It's mainly dealing with Paul, because maybe. See, I'm gonna get out of. You need to hurry up and get that.
So, what we have to do is when we surrender to the will of God. The will of God will take us where we need to be, because we're in His will is what's gonna work out anyway. So and we're here to fulfill His will, right? And so if we surrender in it and just let it happen, I mean, it's better to go willingly than go kicking and screaming. You know what I'm saying? It's less trouble on you.
You were talking about just you could float for hours. And I say every time I think about somebody that's in the water and they get afraid or they second guess it, and they're fighting it, and really as they're fighting, they're just going down. And when you sit down and think about it, calm down, relax, you know, we got this. I think of it as people, they're working hard and not smart.
Right.
And to exhaust everything, your air, your time, it's just, you're killing yourself. You really are. And I said, wow, it's amazing, because every year you hear about somebody drowning, and you always get this vision that they thought it was safe, and then all of a sudden it just,
Because when panic set in, everything you knew, you thought you knew, goes out the window. But if you just can relax, come back to your mind. But when things start to close in on us, and we begin to, and then fear sets in, that's really the damage. When fear sets in, then now our mind, our imagination, go and we develop some stuff that ain't happened yet, but as we see it, it's happening right now. Because, I mean, notice, if you get a foreclosure notice, it ain't happened yet. But you already see yourself outdoors. You ain't got no place to stay. All you done see all that stuff down there, and this bring all kind of anxiety and all kind of stress in you that you don't even need. Because God is still able to work that out even though you have that notice. Somebody say he never come when you, he may not come when you want to, but he always on time. And so no matter what's going on, no matter what we're dealing with, we got to trust God, and that's our lesson in this, really, is to trust God, because things ain't going to look right. I mean, they had skilled people on this ship who are knowledgeable, but they said when that wind came, they said they had to go with the flow. They had to go with it. Now, they had sense enough, after everything they done tried to do, they had sense enough to say, hey, I'm going to let it go. Because when somebody is drowning, the best thing you can do for them and for you is to knock them out. For real. If they don't, you're going to be dead and they're going to be dead. Because, I mean, trying to save a drowning person, ooh, that's your life at risk. But if they just, you just, if you just can knock them out, you can pull them right to shore with ease. Or if they bump their head and get unconscious, you can really pull them with no problem. But boy, if they're still alive and kicking, you're in for a fight. Best thing to do, throw them a life raft. Because your life is at risk. And so we see where these people are saying, hey, we're going to just go with the wind. Whatever's going on, we're going to go with it. And they tell me that's how eagles fly. They love the wind. And that's why they don't fly, they soar. So they go beyond the storm. And so, any other comments on that? Ella Ford, anybody else? Those of you who want to comment, please press one on your phone.
Pastor Butterfield. Let me just read the New King James Version of verse 15, because it echoes what everyone was saying. And it reads as follows. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, the last four words, we let her drive. And that's exactly what you were saying, Pastor. And the other members who were there in person, that here you had experienced sailors, but they realized in their experience that we don't have any control. So we're going to let this wind, this storm, take us wherever this storm is going to take us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. And I'll just attach that to what people were saying about swimming. When I was learning to swim, and when I was that well in proficiency that I could teach people to swim, the first thing I taught them to do was to float on top of water. Because in doing that, when they got to the point where they could actually float, that means they were relaxed. And that means they were relaxed because they no longer had any fear.
Mm-hmm.
But the one second that they heard something or were distracted, the fear would return, and what would happen? They would start struggling, and they would start to sink. So before they even learned their feet or moved their arms, I had to get them used to the fact that there was no need for fear. The water will support you once you let that fear leave you. And that's what we need to do, as was said earlier, when it comes to those storms in our lives. Rather than fussing, fighting, kicking, screaming, and carrying on, which will sink us, which will drown us, which will harm us, we need to just let it go, let the winds of this storm take us wherever, with no fear, and be open to the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that God is showing us, growing us, molding us in what we need to get through this storm. Don't fight the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Use the storm to teach you where you need to be, where you need to go, what direction you need to flow. And we'll see how this storm, as we read on, hopefully will help those that need the help. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. Ella Ford, you want to read verse 17, 18?
New King James Version, 17. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing least that they should run aground on the Cytus sand, they struck sail and so were driven. 18. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And that's where it ends. So here we have a situation where these experienced sailors first took on the lifeboat and put it in their boat. And now look at what they did. They undergirded the ship because, again, in the direction they were going, they did not want to run aground on these, it said Cytus sands, but they're talking about sand barges. They didn't want the ship to crash into that and the ship to splinter, break, and then next thing you know, it's a true disaster. My question in my mind is, how many of these experienced sailors were thinking to themselves, boy, we should have listened to Paul. If we had only listened to Paul. Because notice what it also says in these verses, that they were tempest-tossed, and the next day they lightened the ship. So this is not a storm that lasted a few minutes, a few hours. This is a storm that's raging on into the next day. And this is a strong indication that when you're in the storm, God is not going to let up that storm that you're in, that you're surrounded in, until you get the direction and the message he's trying to put forth. So when they talk about lightening the ship, that's going to be step number three. First, they put the lifeboat in the boat, number one. Number two, they undergirded the ship, meaning that they put ropes or cables under the ship. It's almost like they were binding or tying the boat together to make it stronger. And now part three, we'll see what that means when it says lighten the ship. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. So when we get in situations where we done lost control, and so we got to make sure that we put what secures us inside. That's the Holy Ghost. We got to make sure it's inside. So they took the lifeboat, put it inside the boat. We're the boat, right? That's going through a storm. And so after you done get, done got the, you done know that the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. That's your lifeboat. That's your life. That's your life source. Then you're going to get, you got to undergird it with prayer. Right? And then when you done undergird it with prayer, now there's some things you got to get rid of. You got to lighten your load. And so I would think that the first thing you do was unload, right? But I begin to get a good understanding on what this is saying, because you don't know what to unload before you done pray. You know, you might unload the wrong thing. You know, you might have the things that are heaviest, that's the thing you think you should unload, but it might be the thing that holds you down, right? So when you know you got the Holy Ghost on the inside now, then you got something to help you pray. while you're undergirded, then you can say, okay, I don't need this. I don't need to be thinking like that. You know, because the most damaging thing is our thoughts. Because we got to think the right thing. So when we start taking off those thoughts that, oh, this thing ain't going to work anyway. I should not have came here to love. I don't know why God didn't tell me this. If he had told me that, then all this trouble wouldn't be happening. You know what I'm saying? It's the devil, the blood of Jesus against
you. Back up where Elder Ford was reading in, what is that, verse 17, and it says, and they let down the, my reading, let down the sea anchor, and in this way let themselves be driven along. And what I was thinking too about danger, and y'all was talking about panic and things. Well, I'm not that much teaching things, but if you're in a storm or ice storm, snowstorm, and the roads were icy and slippery, and your car starts to slip and slide, and if you panic, you turn on the wheel this way. Turn that, I mean, you're going to kill yourself and everybody else close to you. But I guess, you know, officially they say the best thing to do is to relax and turn your wheel into the slide where you are sliding. And I remember years ago in Illinois where I lived, and it was slope downhill all the way to turn into where I was going. Well, the car started sliding. And the first thing I did, like you said, was pray. I said, Lord Jesus, help me, because it was just a two-lane road, and on each side there were dips. You know, the road went down, and the car started to swerve and turn. And I said, oh, God, help me, please, Jesus. And the Holy Ghost said, calm down, turn your wheel. And here I was just slightly turning that wheel to the left. That thing, the car, and it went across the street, off the road, down in the ditch, hit back up again, brought me on the road on the right side of the street, and I was, looked like I was just starting from where I was before. Now I knew where the slippery part was, and I just didn't give that thing gas. I just let that thing drift until I got to my right turn. And I got on that street, and I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't know what happened. I ain't never seen no car fly. I mean, that. So I just said, you pray first, you'll get instruction. So I don't know if the Holy Ghost told me that before they started giving you driving instructions how to drive on ice or not. But, you know, I knew one thing. He knew what to tell me to do.
Holy Ghost knows.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. You got to have him on board.
Oh, save my life.
You can't just put him in the corner and say, I don't need you right now. I need to handle this myself.
I want to hit on something which is the men was afraid of what might happen. We mess up when we take our eyes off of God. Now, as long as Peter was walking on the water and he had his eyes on Christ, he was in good standing.
That's right.
But when he took his eyes off of him, that's when he began to sink. So they was already looking at what could happen. That's not what, when you put could in there, then therefore you got doubt when it comes to trusting the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pastor Bagatio.
Ma'am. Yes, sir.
If I may, I just happen to be looking at the New Living Translation of those verses I read. And if you allow, I'd like to read the last part of verse 17 and 18. And it reads follows, the last part of 17. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. 18. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. And what I get from this is, I know Elder Heath mentioned that the anchor, but in the New Living Translation, they put in the phrase to slow the ship. And connecting it to what you said earlier, undergirding by prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's another step when we're in the storm, that yes, we have to secure ourselves by prayer, but we need to slow things down in our prayer and meditate on God, which brings us to the 18th verse, where they began to throw the cargo over. Just like you said, Pastor, in slowing it down through prayer, you know exactly what you need to throw over. And how ironic is it? How ironic is it that here the captain of the ship, who was all about getting to where he needed to go, regardless of Paul's warning, because he was motivated by profit, now profit isn't important anymore. I need to save me and my life. And, Lord, I'm really ready to listen to you. That all mm-hmm. of this material wealth, all of this stuff, I realize now that I'm praying. I've slowed it down. It's not important anymore. So, look,
that's right.
Evidence of my faith to you, Lord, I'm throwing it away. I'm throwing it overboard. I'm getting it away from me. And we'll see if this works in their favor. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when trouble arrives, it's to straighten out our perspective. It's to let us see things, see God for who he is. Yeah, because a lot of times we think we got God figured out. And so we got our own little thing on how this thing shall work. And then so God brings storms to remove some stuff so we can see how without him we really can't do nothing. How we can see that it ain't our money. It ain't our wealth. It ain't our, what we, you know, I got good pedigree. I came from good stock. You know, and all this stuff. It ain't none of that without God. And so when trouble comes, it peels away all that stuff. Because that stuff ain't working now. Pedigree don't mean nothing when you're in a storm. During the pandemic, it doesn't matter if you had money or didn't have money. So when storms come, when God sends storms, it's to peel back our perspective on how big we are, to let us see how how really big God is and how small we are, because sometimes we get beside ourselves.
I'm sorry. Reverend, I don't want to talk too much, but when you said that, and about what's important and how money's not going to save you. There's been many versions, you know, of Titanic.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then one of the first ones came out black and white years ago, mm-hmm. A Night to Remember. It's amazing what those rich people thought was important, and they trying to get their jewels,
mm-hmm.
save their money, had these little suitcases, and they kept saying, don't take anything. But the people down in Syria, the poor people, look, all they was doing was trying to get up above out of the day. They had suitcases. They didn't have knapsacks or nothing.
Right.
They was trying to, you know, save their life against all odds.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who had the favor in them, they was trying to save their money, their jewels, and this, that, and the other. So,
absolutely. That's how we wind up. We got so comfortable with a decent lifestyle that we have, that we think we done made it. So nothing can really bother me now, because I got money, I got prestige, I got fame, but that don't mean nothing in the midst of trouble.
I'm going to say this right here. Sometimes because of disobedience, we can cause a storm to turn into a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake. We can be aware of it, the worst of the worst. And it's because of our disobedience. We can talk to Brother Jonas about that. He can help us out with that.
Amen. 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 So We got to recognize that what we have is not who we are. Who have us is who is who we are. Who is not what we have makes us who we are. It's who have us. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. If you're a child of God, if God got you, you got it all. I mean, you know, they say why these men won't marry these women because they say if you're getting the milk, why try to buy the cow?
Mm-hmm.
But if you got the cow, you got the milk too. And so we got God who owns everything. He controls everything. Not that he owns everything, but he controls it. He tells the sun when to come up, the rain when to start raining. I mean, he controls everything. So if we in good grace with him, I heard somebody say back in the day, you can't lose the stuff you use, right? Because God is on our side. So when we go through anything, it's only to let us know that, hey, I'm still in control. You got to come my way. Can't do it by yourself. You got to do it my way. You got to trust me. You got to trust me. Can't trust what in horses and land and what you got, possession. You got to trust God. Sometimes you get to a place you can't even say a word. And you just think of the goodness of Jesus. And all he's done for you. Hallelujah. You can be sad as you want to be, but your soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. And that's all you got to do. Just think of his goodness. You realize that what you have don't mean nothing. Because we're here but for a season. And after that, we're gone. But eternity is forever, y'all. You can live here 110 years. But it can't compare to eternity. So I'd rather. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So no matter what storm come our way, no matter what tragedy come our way, it only came so we can identify where we are, who we are, and who got us. We know who we are. And Satan, when he comes, that's what he wanted to figure out, for you to know who you are. First thing he said to Jesus in his first temptation, if you be the Son of God, if you be, then do this. But he wanted to find out first, did Jesus know who he was? When he come to us, he want to know if we know who we are. Because if we know who we are, we won't fall to his trick. The stuff that he tried to sell us, we won't buy. Because we know he don't own nothing anyway. He tried to sell Jesus the world. So if you bow down, I'll give you all of this. He said, how you going to give me what's supposed to belong to me? And that's what Satan will do. They call him back in the day a flim-flam man. They'll trick you. Amen. So, let's see if we can go a little further. Almost, we got about 6 minutes. Two more verses, 19 and 20. 19 and 20. Hold on a second.
19. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands.
Mm.
20. Now, when neither sun nor stars appear for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up.
Goodness gracious. Oh, my God.
That's definitely flesh.
Oh.
Flesh all the way. And all this could have been prevented. Obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It was already prophesied before they got there. And you have to know what season you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You would never be on the water. You saying like you coming from the island, it's a certain time when you're not on the island,
mm-hmm.
I mean in the water, because you know it's going to be bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
It may look nice and pretty. Don't be fooled. And what granddaddy say? It's coming.
It's coming.
So it's so many things. And even with the weather today, they're so much better with predicting. They can tell you it's going to be in Decatur at 1 o'clock. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be in Rockdale at 1:02.
Yeah.
And usually it's like boom, boom. It's not long.
Right.
But it's just those few seconds.
Uh-huh.
Come through and just rip apart everything.
Mm-hmm.
And from them being in their flesh, they feel like all hope is lost. They have nothing to live for. They feel like they've been to Paris.
That's what happens when you depend on your own self.
And here, in the version I have, and it says, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned.
Hmm.
So it's just like everybody didn't all at once feel the same thing, but then I'm in no sun or stars or nothing for many, many days in the midst of this tumultuous tempest, the storm. You don't know if it, when they threw stuff overboard. And so, but then it just shows you, too, how subtle the enemy is. You know, he don't just come in and everybody comes the same thing, same time. It was gradually.
Right.
To me, it just seemed like this one gave up, that one gave up, just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, just like, you know that saying, misery loves
company.
Oh, okay. one person start talking about it,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden it's like a fire.
Yeah.
Everybody start, yeah, you know you're right. It don't look like that thing going to work out. You know, sure, you know what happened to my cousin. He tried that too, and it didn't work for him. So it probably ain't going to work for you either. And before you know it, that negativity done spread all through the whole crowd.
Yeah.
But you got to set yourself apart and say, that ain't what God said. Because, and I heard something about Susan Baker, the teacher, Sunday school. And he said something. Where Jairus' daughter, he said she is not dead, she's asleep. Because God don't see things in his presence. That thing got to be. So when we see our present condition, we see the work. We see what's going on now. But he don't see it now. He know the outcome of it. And so when he say you're blessed, even though it don't look like it, if he said it, he's not saying what you're going through right now. So we get lost. We get so discombobulated by what we're going through now. But he sees who you really are. And he said, she's not dead. She just sleeps. And they start laughing at him. He done lost. He said, that's it. Got the mourners outside wailing. They done paid them mourners to come out there. They wailing. Because she has been pronounced dead. But Jesus didn't see her in the state she was in. That thing got me. He don't see us in the state we're in now. He can be broke as a hank, they say. But he don't see you right there, right there now. He don't see that because he already knows what he spoke in you. He already know what he called you. He called you blessed. Joseph was a slave in somebody's house, and he still said you blessed. He was in prison, and he still called him blessed. Ooh, because he called you who you are, not what you were, not what your condition was, not what your situation was. He called you who you are. And so we got to realize that your condition don't make you. Your condition don't make you. Who God called you would make you. When he spoke you, that's who you are. In spite of all the stuff that's around, going around, he already spoke it. And ain't nothing
He said, not a jot of tittle. Now, they told me that a jot of tittle is like a comma and a period. Now, don't let it be a word now. Now, if you think of the comma, it ain't going to fail. You know the word ain't going to fail, right? He said, heaven and earth will pass away first. And that ain't going to happen. And so we got to trust God on what he said, not what we see. So what we see can get us. Oh, my God, that's where fear comes from what we see, what we think we're going to see. But I'm so glad that God is greater than anything we can ever face. Amen. Any last comment? Ella Ford, any last comment?
Yes, Pastor, very quickly. I just wanted to say that when we're in the storm, God will strip us down. All the way down to there's nothing. And what I mean by that is put the lifeboat in the boat, undergirded the boat, prayed, and now threw the cargo over. And then what was the next thing? They started throwing the equipment, the gear, the tackle overboard. And then we get to the point where it says all hope had been lost. So God will take you there until the last minute, until the last ounce of strength and comprehension. Mm. And that part about no stars, sun, moon, that's because God does not want you to rely on earthly measures to find your way out of trouble. He wants you to rely and surrender on him. So now that we're at the point of surrender now, let's see where this story goes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Oh, amen. What an awesome man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to ask those of you out there to give your offerings and send it to text the amount you're giving to 770-906-0607. And those here that you can find an envelope. Everybody got an envelope? Amen. Give you offering, and I'm doing mine online. We thank God for this lesson today, man. Oh, my goodness. So no matter what we're dealing with, sickness or short of cash or whatever it is, circumstances that's kind of tough for us right now, amen, God is good. And I'm telling you, my brother and his son has been estranged. To a point where his son would not even give him a call, wouldn't do anything. Father's Day, his son called me. Hey, Uncle Stephen, happy Father's Day. He said, I'm here with Mr. C. He called his dad, Mr. C. And I said, you are? He said, yeah, I'm here with my dad. I was like, oh, my God. That made my day. And when I spoke to my brother, he said, oh, this is the best Father's Day I can ever have. To have your son. Oh, my God, you just don't know. For years, they've been estranged. For years. Oh, my God. But God. Whew. Made my day. So those of you out there, please give your offering. We pray that, let us pray all the offering. Father God, bless this offering. Everyone that give, oh, God, we ask you, oh, God, to give it back. Press down, shaking together, and running over. Let man give into our bosom, O God, in the name of Jesus, that your name will be glorified. Bless us now, God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see you guys next week. We started at verse 21. Amen on next week. God bless you guys. Thank you.